this is Ben, and what if I'm forced to be in the car with this one?
This one? Well, what's it supposed to mean?
Whenever I'm on the road.
You talk at me like I'm not even here.
I just put in my earbuds, and I'm taken away to another world. Sweet bliss. audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow is the only way to read.
You know, that's the first thing you've said that I actually agree with. audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow. I love it.
They have over 80,000 books.
And you can get a free book today.
Can I finish?
Well, fine, Mr. Smarty Pants.
Go to audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow today for your free audiobook.
Can I talk now?
From Jacksonville, Florida, I am Jeffrey Ross.
From the city by the bay, I'm Michelle Naranjo.
From Minneapolis, Minnesota, I'm social media maven Joel Fetter.
From the Roundabout Studio in Livonia, Michigan, I'm Stephen Ewing.
I'm Eric Tritko.
I'm your host, Craig Cole.
And I am producer Ben Sanders.
Oh yeah, this is Roundabout.
Welcome to Roundabout, episode number 69, our weekly chat covering car culture, vehicle reviews, and some of the auto news you may have missed.
Every week, like a quick lube place, we pull all kinds of stories and news topics into our garage for a cursory going over. In 15 minutes or less, we'll drain the crankcase, swap out the old filter for one that's the wrong size, then cross-thread the drain plug. Along the way, we may even try to tighten a leaking power steering line or dislodge a cohesive Zen-like theme from the lower radiator shroud. Whatever's left over, well, we'll pretend we didn't see it because our time is nearly up. So welcome, everyone. We are back.
Wait a minute. That's 2 weeks in a row.
Two in a row.
Can I get a group high five? Circle high.
Oh, God.
You guys are
circle five. Circle five.
All right, great. Great job, everyone.
Nicely done.
Yes. So 2 weeks in a row, two car-themed intros. And, well, could it be 3 weeks in a row since technically we were on the air last week?
No.
Yeah, we
doesn't
had...
count if you don't do it.
Well, all right.
It
fine.
Shouldn't even be counted as 2 weeks in a row.
Two shows in a row.
Well, if you're wondering why we weren't online last week, it's because we had a little bit of travel-related trouble.
And thank you, Delta Airlines.
Exactly. And the weather, I understand, as well, played a little factor in that.
But it was mostly Delta Airlines.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, since Delta controls the snow.
They control the skies, too. They have anti-aircraft batteries.
Actually, it had nothing to do with the weather. It was a mechanical delay. Oh.
The plane blew up on the tarmac, or what? So you were trapped in Baltimore because you were down for the Washington D.C. Auto Show, and you flew into Baltimore,
correct.
BWI, and couldn't get back. So there you go. But we're back now, folks. We're doing another episode of Roundabout.
Detroit, Michigan, east of the time zone.
Yep, that happened. So we have our panel of experts joining us tonight. We have Jefferson Ross from the Autotropolis down in Jacksonville, Florida, no less. What's up, Jeff?
Not much. How are you guys doing?
Can't complain. It's a balmy 28 degrees up here.
I was in Miami this week where it was in the mid-80s, so now it's back to normal winter temperatures in Jacksonville.
Jesus! Sorry.
Welcome to San Francisco.
I thought you were playing like a sitar or something, Ben. I was like, what? But Michelle Naranjo, you are in wine country, I understand, right?
I'm in the city, but I will be in Marin County tonight.
Wine country? Is she surrounded by a bunch of emos?
I'm here.
I'm sitting right here is the thing.
Try to be a little more sensitive, Eric, all right? Steven is easily hurt.
They always just make fun of me.
But Michelle Naranjo, San Francisco, what brings you up to the Golden Gate Bridge City?
I am here for the NADA, the Dealers Conference.
Sounds exciting.
Tomorrow night.
Riveting
and my friend
even.
Emily Miller is receiving an award from the, what is it called, Ben? The Women's Automotive Alliance International.
Why something? Would I know?
That sounds a little sexist. I'm not going to lie.
Okay.
But either way, we're glad you could join us. You're out on the street right now, aren't you? Not living on the street.
I am.
But you're...
No, I'm just sitting outside of a Starbucks.
She's going to ask somebody a random car question.
That would be awesome. Can you do that?
Perhaps a segment later in the show. But Michelle, glad you could make it.
The car that's directly in front of me is an HHR.
Ew.
Someone rented a car.
You had to ruin the mood.
Buzzkill. Also joining us for today's show, we have our stalwart at the end of the table wearing his orange and white Texas shirt, sweatshirt, Eric Tritko.
Hello, Gregory.
Christopher.
What's shaking?
Not much. How was your drive from the Dearborn?
There was actually traffic on the roads today, which means the local economy must be going good because there haven't been traffic on the roads in about 3 years here.
Mm. That's a good thing and a bad thing.
Yes, it is.
It's true.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, it is. Doesn't mean my house value is going to be going up anytime soon, but hey,
well,
you know.
Those kids on your lawn.
Exactly.
Get off my lawn.
That's what a Mossberg is for.
We are all, well, moving along, we are also joined, before we commit a hate crime, we are also joined in studio by Stephen Ewing from Autoblog.
Hi, Craig.
We're glad you could make it, Stephen.
I always make it.
I know you do. You are like, what's that geyser we looked at? Old Faithful, but a lot less disappointing. I don't mean it like that.
It's because
you're regular.
It's because I live 10 minutes away.
Well, that too. You've been taking the Phillips Milk of Magnesia, right?
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
On schedule.
Plenty regular.
Exactly.
Plenty regular.
So glad you could make it. Didn't miss another show. Great news. Ben Sanders, our producer, getting us off on time, no less. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Appreciate your efforts editing the show on the weekend, of course, because that's when it all gets done.
That's
when it goes down.
When the magic happens.
It's a deal of effort.
Yeah, I believe it is. I've never done it myself, and I don't care to try, but it's a lot of work. And, of course, last but not least, making a repeat appearance on Roundabout this week, the second coming of Joel Fetter.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa.
We've been dual-fettered.
Just tore a hole in the space-time continuum.
Really only visit number two?
I know. Doesn't it feel like...
feels like you never left.
Like I know.
So, Joel, from High Gear Media, Accelerate Minneapolis.
Hug'em. Hug'em. Kids, hug'em.
And it's Accelerate Mipples.
Yeah, well...
I live in the Mipples.
What's shaking?
Nothing, man. Just living life. Busy.
Well, we're glad you could carve out some time to come to enter the roundabout again. You know,
it really was a mm-hmm. life-changing decision.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You put off having your first child, put off buying a house.
No, but my dog is in the other room and I have no idea what he's doing, but whatever.
Perhaps consummating a child. I don't know. But glad you could make it. So
glad to be here.
Yeah, you don't have to lie. It's okay.
All right, fine. I was forced. Michelle forced me.
It was either go shoe shopping with my fiance or, you know.
Actually, it's more like either planning wedding stuff or this.
Oh, and who's getting married?
It's been a while since I've been on here. I've got a dog now. I'm getting married. New job.
No one gets married these days.
I'm not invited to the wedding.
Oh, here we go.
Michelle is devastated. Ben Palin, play that sound.
I hugged it out with Michelle, and I explained it in person.
That sounds awful.
I'll let you experience it sometime, Craigie. It's exactly what it sounds like.
At least we know Michelle showered that day.
Yep.
Well.
I think. I don't know. One never knows.
Well, this is episode number 69.
69.
Doggy style.
You had to bring it in the gutter.
We have chosen, goodness. This week's theme is alternative, as in the alternative to a much more obvious, although more salacious, alternative theme.
Exactly.
We could have
went that way.
But we've already done the innuendo show.
We have.
Exactly.
We chose to exercise a little restraint. No, Stephen, not those kinds of restraints. A little bit of restraint this week.
Well, I left those in the trunk, like you asked me to.
Yes. I understand. So we've got the alternative episode this week. So all kinds of alternatives to more common things. So this is perhaps an alternative to a good podcast, right? Something someone would actually want to listen to.
Yeah. You said an alternative to a good podcast. So yes.
Which means an equally good podcast.
Not necessarily, though. We're digressing here, but we have got a wonderful lineup of alternative stories this week. We're going to learn about a jet-propelled water-propelled jetpack that lets you fly. A Citroën limousine, Eric. You found this story, I believe.
Citroën.
And if you like karaoke, we've got a little article coming up in just a few minutes.
I love karaoke.
Who doesn't? We're going to get to that here in just a minute. But, Jeff, you have our first article. It's from Engadget.com, and I understand it's about the blind and how they can drive?
How's that possible?
It's an alternative to a cane or a guide dog. Mm. And for once, some good news coming out of Florida.
That deserves a round of applause.
Oh, that's good.
Virginia Tech developed a Ford Escape hybrid.
I thought you said this was coming out of Florida, but it's from Virginia Tech.
Eric.
Jeff.
You have 3 minutes of timeout. Now turn around and turn your computer off and disconnect your internet. Virginia Tech developed a vehicle for a blind man to drive around the Daytona International Speedway in Florida. And he did so without any robots. He did it all himself.
So drove by feel, basically.
He did. They developed some rumble.
Did he use the force
system for that went through his seat? And
I wonder if a woman was in the car that was blind, how that would work.
What did you mean, Joel?
69.
This is episode 69. I'm just leaving.
Oh, come on!
Everyone, turn to page 69.
We are trying to have a family-friendly broadcast here, and
that was a movie.
That was
my cousin Fanny.
So, what about drivers now? Something about blind people driving.
Yeah, this guy, he navigated Daytona's 1.5-mile road course, and it wasn't just it was set up and he knew what was going on. They even threw out obstacles in front of him, and the car helped him detect obstacles, and he did all the driving himself.
So is Stevie Wonder coming to a road near you sometime? Or
sometimes I think people drive blind anyway. I mean, when they're looking at their lap text messaging,
mm-hmm.
they might as well be
or
blind.
Their GPS.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not basically, really sure what this technology is going to prove, other than we can get worse drivers on the road.
Good point.
I don't.
Well, it is innovative that they got a blind man to drive.
But
right?
Then it's to the point where when your grandpa is driving in the car and someone cuts him off and he looks at you and goes, "What is he blind?" You can say, "Yeah,
actually,
perhaps.
Yeah, he is.
Actually,
he is blind."
But definitely isn't as cool as when Ford let that guy drive a Mustang GT blind last year.
That was pretty cool. Joel, how would folks up in Minneapolis react to this? I know that's the Midwest, pretty conservative.
Dude, people can't drive here anyway. Half of them are blind, I'm sure. It's bad.
Well, let's just put it this way. Every old driver comes to Florida where they've already lost their vision. So I can see why they tested this out in Daytona.
Yeah, but I think that it would have made more sense than to, instead of an Escape, to do it in a town car or a DTS.
Lucerne.
Yes, Lucerne.
V6. Because who needs four portholes? That just is gaudy on the side, on the fender. Mm-mm.
Three portholes is much better.
I know, it's more aerodynamic.
When the Lucerne Super accelerates through a crowd of people, it gets better carnage.
The Super is lifted, right? So it better plows through open-air markets?
Yeah.
Exactly. And, arms and legs won't clutter the engine.
Get caught in the fan belt.
The extra portholes help.
So, Jeff, just so we're clear, how did this – it uses, a vibrating seat? I didn't understand that exactly.
Whoa.
Careful. Careful. Now answer.
There's a laser. A laser.
Laser.
Frickin' sharks
on the vehicle.
Laser beams on their heads.
And it relays information to the driver through a rumbling seat and through some, special gloves. I wasn't quite sure how it worked myself, but I'm sure.
Did you see Lawnmower Man?
Well, our next story is considerably simpler.
Did you guys see that segue that just went by?
Yeah, that was a great segue.
What happened?
Craig doesn't get a pop culture reference, so he's just
play the sound
screw
effect.
Screw it!
That is the segue. If you can,
accelerate through
Craig,
it.
Ooh,
sorry.
If you can trip up Craig.
And of course, that sound means we're on to our next story,
which is our prepare the next sound effect, Ben. It's Day of the Dead or Mexican New Year or whatever they celebrate. I don't know. Didn't that just go down, Michelle?
Chinese New Year.
Kwanzaa.
No, I think it was Mexican New Year.
I don't know these
Mexican
holidays.
New Year. Really?
Is that like Mexican radio? Whoa, whoa.
Well, so our next... Michelle's not even speaking to me. Our next...
Michelle!
No, I'm here. I'm here. I had to mute it for a second because another siren went by.
Well, we've got another... This is our... You know what that sound effect means. That this is our roundabout non sequitur, where we take a few moments to talk about an article we found during the week that may or may not necessarily relate to cars. And, Ben, I believe you found this one. I'm not throwing it to you. Don't worry.
Goodness.
I believe you found this article.
Broke out into a sweat there. I did
I can
find
see
this article.
You've actually soaked through the outer layers. But...
You're so mean. You're cruel. That's what you are.
What have we got here? Just tee it up for me.
What we've got here is, if you're a fan of Super Mario Sunshine, you're going to love this.
Now, what platform is that on?
That was for the GameCube. Were you a Cube fan?
I had N64 and then a Wii. Never
you
used.
Skipped generations.
I skipped the SNES as well. I had the 8-bit. But anyway, GameCube.
Anyway, it's really a jetpack that you're really going to be able to buy, with the caveat that it's water-propelled and it's hooked to sort of a suction device on the ground.
Is it a dolphin-safe suction device? I mean, could you see a sea mammal getting ingested in the impeller?
No.
Wouldn't that be... Stephen is genuinely concerned.
Those are big sea... Well, oh. I love oh. sea mammals.
Do you?
Is
What's
thing.
Your favorite mammal of the sea?
Beluga. Chicken or tuna? So is it chicken or is it fish?
Touche. So basically what we've got here is just what it sounds like. It is a jetpack, but it's got this floating... I guess it's like this little boat that floats, and it houses a motor... which pumps water out of the ocean or lake or whatever you're in. And
boat seems misleading. It's about the size of like a jet ski.
Okay. So this nacelle, if you would.
Yeah.
The watercraft.
Yes. Watercraft. But basically what it does is it sucks water from the surface of the ocean, pumps it up a tube that is
or
up
lake.
To...
Doesn't 30, have to be the ocean. I just want to, you know, make that clear.
Up to 33 feet long, which is how high you can go. And it shoots it out these nozzles that you wear on your back. And you can actually fly above the water. It's freaking awesome.
It looks really damn cool.
You can travel up to 22 miles an hour with it, like you mentioned, Eric. Only caveat, it's $100,000.
No!
No!
And just so everyone knows, Scott in Cleveland just made it in the chat. So, hello, Scott.
Hello, Scotty.
What else is there to say about it? Not much. But it's awesome. And if you want to see the video in person, if you are listening to the audio version of the podcast here, hit our website, roundaboutshow.com, and you can hit the link in the show notes.
Now, how much would this hurt if you were sort of close to the shore when you ran out of juice and were just like,
you took it on
20
shore,
feet? Right, exactly. You. Or you got too close and it started running out of water to suck
no, no,
up.
A sandbar you can see.
Now, here's what I want to know.
Broken legs.
You say it's $100,000, yeah. Which is not an insignificant amount of money.
Generally, no.
Here, my question is, would you rather have one jetpack or seven Honda Fits?
One jetpack.
Okay. Well, this is the non-sequitur, so.
But a Nissan GTR and a Honda Fit.
I'd pick a GTR and a Fit. Because if those kill me, it's going to be while I'm enjoying myself.
And not looking like a DB.
Are you afraid of heights, Steven?
I'm not afraid of heights.
Are you afraid of water?
I am not afraid of water.
What are you afraid of?
Then why wouldn't you be enjoying yourself while...
I'm afraid of really high water.
Bong water? Was that like bong water?
Yeah.
Okay, well, Joel, maybe you can tell us about that.
It's moist.
It is moist.
Wow, so there you go. That is our roundabout non-sequitur.
Dead hookers.
And that is equally a non-sequitur, Ben. So it fits the mini theme, if you
that
will.
That could just be the new non-sequitur sound.
And Happy New Year. So, Michelle, you have our next article. Hopefully you're not muted.
I sure am. I'm not muted, am I? Can you hear me?
Hello? Hello? Yes, we can hear you.
What did you find here on Amazon? I don't even know how to describe this.
Can you hear us?
Well.
Sorry, there must be a delay.
I had to take my phone away from my head to make sure it wasn't muted.
She's going to get the
cancers. Sorry, we're working on the satellite delay right now. Michelle is live in Egypt covering the protests.
I thought they cut the internet.
That's how she found this vehicle, actually. She needed it to go into the field.
That's right. What do we got here, Michelle?
This thing is pretty amazing.
Well, what is it, first of all?
It's a JL-421 Badonkadonk Land Cruiser tank. And
I am speechless.
It apparently costs $100, but I haven't clicked through to see if that actually works. But it is this kind of Doctor Who looking...
Exterminate! Exterminate!
Yeah, and I guess it kind of like hovers on the desert or something. It can carry up to 5 internally or on the roof.
You need one of these, Michelle.
It's awesome, right?
It's like Luke's totally land speeder from Star Wars.
I was going to say, this doesn't remind me of Doctor Who. It reminds me of like Jabba's land barge or desert barge or whatever.
Mm-hmm. I love the fifth picture in this thing.
I like how it has a 400-watt premium sound.
One of the pictures is of Obama and the three wolf moon.
Riding on the land tank.
It's his wolf pack.
He's got a band, too. So, Michelle, what is this and why is it for sale on Amazon?
Well, the guy that, I guess the designer, has a website called NAO Design, and... he designs these kind of wacky different things. He's designed liquid magnets. He's done this sort of weird blowtorchy thing, and this is his, design to carry you around the desert safely in a Mad Max sort of way. Or I think it's kind of more like Tank Girl, don't you think?
Does it need armor plating, though? That's what I want to know.
The armor plating? Well, I guess it's for the end of the world, right?
Yeah, zombie apocalypse.
Right, so you could take it down, Cormac McCarthy's The Road. Depressing movie, by the way.
Oh, God.
Horrible.
Dead hookers.
So,
dead hookers.
So, Joel, would this fly in the Minnesota?
Does it have four-wheel drive? It doesn't look to have a lot of ground clearance.
Well, it's a plow effect, you know? It's going to clear its own way.
This would be the plow effect.
That's a common misconception, actually.
Really?
This uses maglev technology, from what I understand. It's a reverse gravity well generator that they can focus the beam.
Well,
and
as long as it has the premium sound system, it will totally fly in Minnesota.
Oh, there you go. So how did you find this?
Did you read
Michelle?
Any of the reviews?
It's got 246
reviews. I wasn't in the market. I thought you were.
They're awesome.
Give us a little scrambler, Michelle.
There's one customer here who had one ordered, and he had NAO install the optional GPS-guided white phosphorus missile system.
Hang on. I'm going to read the reviews right now. Hang on.
Amazon reviews are the best thing ever.
They're better than hush puppies?
Oh, here we go. Here's the best one.
The shoes, not the food.
Here's the best review. I'll admit it. Shopping for a personal tank is a bit daunting.
Well, Ben, you had some interesting reviews.
Let's not even go there, Craig. Let's not even go there.
The best review, that was just the first one, Joel.
No, it is the best one.
The donk is okay. Not recommended for a drunken rampage, though. So, yeah, again, check out this wacky armored tank thing. Hit the link in the show notes, roundaboutshow.com. You can check it out for yourself. You be the jury, in fact. Right?
Please.
Please do. Yeah. So, Eric... on a completely unrelated note, although this thing does look like a land tank, and it is an alternative to a perhaps more sensible limousine, what'd you find here?
Isn't this on Michelle's favorite website?
Yes. Yes, it is.
What one's that? Wait, don't say.
It's redesigned. It's 5.0.
It's the beatnip jalopy site.
Right.
Yes.
The portmanteau of a beatnik and jalopy.
The site is horribly laid out.
It's the new 5.0. It's updated.
Wow.
What are we looking at?
Wow.
It's push rods, not double overhead cam, that's for sure. So what we have here is a...
failure to communicate. Sorry.
Yes. Name that movie, Craig.
Nope.
Cool Hand Luke. Awesome, awesome,
I was
going to
say
movie.
Cool Runnings, but...
Cool Runnings.
Cool Summer?
Jamaica Vibe.
Nothing like a Jamaican bobsled.
Anyway, what have we got here?
Crazy up in here.
Jamaican me pissed, Steven. You keep interrupting.
Can you guys hear the Beatles playing out of this guy's Boxster?
7 seconds.
Thankfully, no.
Mute it!
So what we have here is a Citroen CX limousine.
Citroën.
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 Sorry, I did not drink my Beaujolais today.
I beast of.
So can you just say Citroën?
Citroën.
So anyways, this limousine was built for a head of state, but not for a French head of state. It was built for the former leader of the Deutsche Democratic Republic, also known as the former East Germany.
It's beautiful.
Erich Honecker, who was the last quote-unquote president of the DDR.
I just realized something, Eric.
Yes?
He's got the same first name as you, although spelled slightly differently.
Yes.
Okay.
Your point.
So anyway,
do we have his car is more reliable?
I need a sound effect for an awkward silence.
Yeah, the range.
Awkward silence.
Honestly, it's
oh, that
it's
is
sort
the sound
of beautiful.
Effect. It's hard to play.
It is interesting that a leader.
Go, Eric.
I'm sorry.
No, go. We're talking. We're having our own show here.
Yeah, apparently.
Roundabout part two.
Yeah.
Sorry.
This would be like HD radio. You're on channel.
Yeah, exactly. Two. This is roundabout point two.
And then over here is roundabout two.
Yeah.
One, two. Okay.
Uno. So, Citroën.
Stay on target? No, not
yes,
us. No.
Keep no, we don't target do this. Here.
So, what I found interesting about the thing was, well, A, that it's a Citroën limousine, which was kind of wacky. It was cool. It was wacky, you know, kind of thing. But that a leader of a communist country wouldn't be driving a limousine built, you know, like a Lada or a Zill or something like that. No, he's got a French car as a limousine.
Is it armored as well?
I'm sure it was.
Armored.
Armored with a U.
Yes. Obviously.
But it's kind of cool. I mean, it's got seats so you can face each other in the back, and I'm sure it has the whole hydraulic suspension. So, hey, you know, if it was good enough for De Gaulle, it's good enough for
probably going to rust
Honecker.
Out in the middle and just crack
yeah,
in half at
exactly.
Some point.
Well, you know, the French, they're the
make oh, some it of the, is good enough.
Excuse me while I go have a cigarette and a baguette.
It's plenty fun.
Well, McElroy's actually got a Citroën. He's got a DS, like a 63, 64,
21.
Something like that.
Interesting.
What? It's a DS21.
Whatever. They sold him here years ago, and he said he had to do some work on it, and it's just the most god-awfully designed, like, engineered vehicle, like, to get the fuel tank out, because he had some, the original
tank
rusted.
He had to remove the sink, the seat, right?
He had to, like, remove sink. The seat and do all this crazy stuff to get, I don't know.
Weird.
Yeah. Anyway.
It can't be worse than some of the old Mercedes.
Yeah, the German cars aren't good either.
Because when I had my 300 SD and went to have a stereo installed and they went to go install the amplifier, I told them, please don't put it against the wall between the trunk and the back seat because that's where the fuel tank is. And you know what they did? They screwed it right in.
Oh, no.
But, I mean, who puts a fuel tank between the back seat and the trunk?
Seems like only a logical place to me.
Yes. Well, you know. Anyway,
so there wasn't a pass through on that.
No.
So,
but who owns one of those?
Who would build a Citroën limousine? Isn't that like a K car pickup? Oh wait, that's the
which
Dodge
is
Rampage.
Like you know 120 less than.
Yep, horn blows. Does the driver?
I can't find my car. I know I left it around here somewhere.
Does it have cloth seats?
Yes.
Why?
It's probably
that's
a luxurious. Prius.
That's the best.
Luxury leather is just too luxurious for the DDR.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's a car of the people, don't you know?
That's why it's a limo, right?
Yeah, exactly.
The car of the present.
Today.
Now.
Drive the car of the present. Today, it's our slogan for roundabout.
But anyways, the other thing is that this car was up for sale too. But we'll have to ask Mirko to find out because Mirko's good at finding those former dictators' cars
yeah.
for
oh, he's
sale.
He's great at it. He got had a Stalin car, and somebody else, Pol Pot, I guess. Running out of dictators,
Charlemagne,
Kim Jong Il,
Kim Jong Il. Yeah,
he's got a sunglass collection like you wouldn't believe.
He looks crazy.
And a fat son.
Yeah,
that was a low blow.
So yeah, Citroën. It's crazy looking for a limo. Maybe just it's too Euro flavored for my taste. I think when I want a limo, I want a Cadillac or an old town car.
I don't know.
You don't want a Lincoln MKT.
You don't want like a Hummer H2 with a pool in the back?
Not so much, not so much.
But you can take it to prom.
And wash away all the incriminating.
Dirty.
So, yeah, thank you for that, Eric. That was something. But, Steven, yes. I believe you have an alternative to running out of range.
I do.
If you drive an EV,
that
is.
If you drive an EV. Mm-hmm.
Important
well,
qualifier.
As I'm sure you've seen over the past year or two especially, LED headlights are becoming more and more prominent in the auto industry. People are using them not just for accent lighting, but for the actual headlamp units of the cars. Audi's doing it. Lexus is doing it. And I guess a study has shown that... What?
Doing it.
They're all doing it. They're doing it with each other. They're doing it with the consumers. They're doing it to themselves.
Well, that's...
No, it's true. They are.
What are they doing exactly?
I'm putting LED lights on new cars.
Okay. Yeah. Well, what are the benefits of that certain technology?
A study has found out that LEDs use 25% less energy than a normal halogen bulb. And if you drive an EV, that can extend your range.
Bye.
Which is sort of
bye.
Important. Oh, my God. About 6 miles.
What is that in kilometers?
9.5.
Or parsecs.
You lost me.
So LED
that was
lights
also,
are the
ex- that fit in with the sub-theme as well.
LED lights are the extents of electric vehicles?
Yes, they are. They can increase your range
and
performance.
Depends of what?
Extends.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, they'll increase your range and performance, let you last longer, go farther.
So I'm not the only one that's seen that infomercial.
Well, that's something. So this is.
I'm not only a client, I'm a president.
These headlights are kind of cool. I like the way Audi is implemented. Now, granted, these are only some of the daytime running lamps that they use on their cars are not the full
right.
headlight. They're for accent mostly.
Right.
No, but they're still cool the
AA
way the ring is.
Yeah, the new AA has the full LEDs. The photo for the story that we found at Autoblog Green is of a Lexus LS
the
hybrid, which has full LED lighting.
I didn't know they even made one of those.
They do.
They only sell like 3 a year.
Yeah, exactly.
I do know that it's the first time that Lexus had to update their system when they came out with the 600 HL. They had to update their entire system because it was the first car that was going to cost over $100,000. So they had to change everything around to put in that extra place.
It was like...
On the window sticker?
It's like yes. Y2K, but for Lexus.
It was like Y2K, but for Lexus sedans.
But then they made the LFA.
Yeah, but the 600 HL came years before the LFA.
The what?
LFA, the funny supercar.
Now, Joel, I've got to ask you to get a Midwesterner's perspective on this technology. The folks in Minnesota are pretty conservative, I understand. So how would they take to this new technology? I know it's radical.
Are they conservative, Craig? I haven't heard this.
Are we conservative? Because there's a lot of pickup trucks here.
I'm pretty sure that's a good metric of conservative.
It's what you might call Bush territory.
Not in Australia. Or, yeah.
There's actually quite a few people here that drive higher-end cars, and, of course, they're going to start coming with the LED lights, the new A8, the LS, and everything like that. So, I mean... I don't know. I think that we will be just fine with them.
Okay, good. Well, now, Michelle, we got to get a West Coasterner's perspective.
I understand they could be more liberal. Is that right, Craig?
That's not what I heard, actually.
Oh, okay, sorry.
But, Michelle.
Yes, sir.
Your stance on the issues here.
I'm sorry, I wasn't listening. I was looking at the pants that Emily just bought in this cute little store down the way.
Oh, my God.
You know, you don't have to be here if you don't want
right.
to.
That's right. You know.
Don't feel obligated.
No one held a gun to your head.
Close hour.
Well, we'll just skip you then.
Put her on mute.
All right, speaking of people who are not in the show, Eric, all right, go ahead. Show your thing to the whole audience.
I am on television.
Whoa, what?
Okay. Not that thing, not that thing. Sorry.
Put it away.
Family show.
Exactly. This is America's Family Time Automotive Podcast.
Thank you for joining
podcast.
Us at Roundabout Show. It's been a great episode.
It's been a great series. We're done.
We're done here.
Finny.
So, yeah.
I'm sorry.
I would have never thought LED headlamps could have that big of an effect on a car's range, particularly EVs. I mean, I guess I didn't realize it's headlights. Rising. Use,
yeah. Headlights draw a lot of amperage. Mm-hmm.
See, you know what? I do know a lot about
you're
going to
participate
bulbs,
now, Michelle?
Yeah, I do know a lot about light bulbs. I just asked Paul, because he sells light bulbs, right? So I don't know anything about them at all myself.
Oh, God.
I know that they're expensive and difficult to find, but...
They illuminate the road sometimes.
Hmm.
Sometimes.
Mm. Other times they illuminate the tree if they're improperly adjusted.
Or as you add to it.
Have you ever tried to adjust them yourself?
Yes.
Yeah, it's easy.
God, it's so tedious.
No.
It's so hard to park my car in front of a garage door and take a screwdriver and twist the knob.
I've done that.
Hey, twisting your knob. Like,
I had one that was always a little bit wonky the last time I did it.
Shocking.
Well, Joel, it's your turn. I hope you've been paying better attention than Michelle.
I have been paying better attention.
Are we still on the show?
We're what, Jeff?
Is this thing still on?
Is this thing on?
Yeah, we're still online.
We're recording on Ustream.
Can the how's the sound, audience? Chat room.
Excuse me, I gotta go to the bathroom.
I thought you already went. Well, anyway,
I was cold.
So anyway, next up, we're gonna talk about rear seat karaoke.
And what is this an alternative to? I don't understand.
Front seat karaoke.
Clearly.
This seems like an alternative to just singing in the car or TVs in the car or something. Anyway, apparently this guy named Michael Banofsky.
Never heard of him.
I've never.
Who?
I know, right?
Michael Ban. You sure that's how it's pronounced?
Was there a podcast?
I don't know.
Sorry, Joel. Sorry.
What does this Banofsky fellow have to say?
Canada, but who cares about Canada?
Blame Canada.
You should. You're real close to him.
We're probably closer, though.
Yeah, a little
you
bit.
Realize that?
Yeah, but he's got the great white northern Canadians, the ones that don't come out of their igloos.
But anyway,
but
he's got this fetish with off-road vans, apparently.
I like their healthcare.
And he found one that has a rear seat in-car karaoke option. And apparently it's swivel seats and a complicated radio. And you basically can sing Spice Girls to your heart's content.
Craig, you are going to love this.
Yep. Ben, you're going to love the drapes. They match the seats. It has drapes
in it. Is that innuendo?
No.
I think it is.
Actually, no, it wasn't.
Look at those controls.
The curtains match the fenders.
Is it voice activated now, Joel?
It does not say it's voice activated. Mm. Since this is looking like a very old vehicle...
What vintage would you estimate for the list?
I would estimate this is the early to mid 90s.
Mm. Those were heady days in the compact van business.
Like 8 to 10 years old, and Michael Banofsky was
35,
loving his cat. So, whatever.
Stroking his cat.
Regardless, his van off road fetish has found this very interesting vehicle for us, and I would roll in it. I would go pick up Adam Barrera in it because he would love this vehicle.
Now, what make is it, Joel?
I'm sorry, what?
What make is it?
This is a Mitsubishi. Delica.
Is that like
it
a Celica?
It was imported from Japan.
Hi.
It's time zone.
So, yeah. This thing is nutso. Why would you... What? Karaoke's a random thing to put in your car.
Is
there anything better?
See, the thing that strikes me about this is karaoke in your car would seem to promote drunk driving.
Or driver distraction.
Because most people that I know...
Or something else driving.
...don't like karaoke unless they've had about 7 beers.
I was just going to say, this seems like way ahead of its time. We now have TVs in our car, and now this is karaoke. I mean, it seems way ahead of its time for me.
It seems like it would be incredibly distracting. Like, remember that thing we talked about where screaming kids are worse than drunk driving?
I just can't imagine driving around with my friends playing, like, Dance Dance Hero in the back seat and singing to Aretha Franklin.
I actually can picture that. But
singing show tunes, Ben?
Not me.
Not me. Not
Steven, I mean.
I'm not doing it.
Oh no!
I'll
you
do whatever
go.
I want.
I'm gonna do what I feel like.
Whatever. I killed 2 baby seals. All right. So, thank you for presenting that, Joel. That's great. That's
my pleasure.
So great. Our next
You're
story.
You're excused. That's all we needed you here for.
I'm out of here.
No, actually, please, we suggest you excuse yourself. Please. No.
Click.
Our next article here, which is the last story for the news portion of the show here.
Oh, thank God.
I know. Aww. This is, don't feel sad, we'll do it again next week. This is an alternative to a decent theft, because a gentleman, according to the AP, in Massachusetts, posed as a valet at a hospital ER, and a pregnant woman came in, gave him the keys to her car, and he stole it. Hilarious theft, no?
Extremely.
What's more hilarious than that, Ben?
Stealing from
a pregnant woman
with child.
Yeah.
Stealing well, from woman a woman about to be with child.
Potentially.
No, you're with child when it's... she's about to be without child, technically.
She's going to murder it?
Michelle, am I right on this one?
She's technically... She's going to be with but without, yes. She'll be with in a new way.
Right.
In the family way.
Without.
She's in the family way now, which is with child. When she goes into the hospital,
bleh,
out it goes, and she's with but without.
Is that the noise?
I don't think Craig knows how this...
It's sort of the yada, 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 and hey, I got a baby.
See, now, Craig, when a man and a woman love each other...
I did yada, yada, childbirth.
Mm-hmm.
That noise.
I think that's going to be my mommy blog, yada, yada, childbirth.com.
Well... Michelle, were you victimized like this when you had Henry?
Oh, no, not at all, actually. I went into labor early, you know, at 24 and a half weeks. And
enough with the math, all right? I don't get it.
Well,
what kind of car were you driving?
40. A Citroen. And it takes about 40 weeks, of course, for a baby to be fully developed. And so I went into labor early, and my husband...
Whoa, are they like film? Is that what it is?
Hospital and dropped me off at the hospital. And I stayed at the hospital by myself.
Well, so what a gentleman.
That probably explains why he's your ex.
Well, then.
Who knew? Steven, who knew?
Who knew?
I know.
Oh, yeah.
So that is a great alternative to a legitimate theft. So if you're out, any of you are out there considering stealing, you know, there you go. So we are going to take a quick break right now. It is time. We have finished the news portion of the show. But when we come back, we're going to take a look at an alternative fuel that involves microbeads, something very interesting. I haven't heard of this before, but we will get to that. We will also take a look in the garage. We've got just a whole host of vehicles that we've been driving lately, so we'll try to power through those. Plus, we've got a highway here, so I said, don't you go anywhere. We will be right back after a brief message from one of our sponsors. Singular.
Are there more than one sponsor?
I would like to talk a moment about audiobooks. Haven't done that in a while.
I know. Do tell.
Oh, I've missed it.
If you've got a long commute, you're flying transatlantic, going to Japan or something.
Someone driving to Chicago?
Ding,
Steven.
Ding, ding.
Yeah, I
audiobooks.
I am.
After you've listened to this week's episode of Roundabout, the latest episode of Roundabout, audiobooks are a great way to pass the time. And I invite you to visit the website audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow.
Can you send me an invitation?
You don't need an invitation. You just go there.
Oh, can you invite me on Facebook?
You just go there. Again,
you just
it's Audible.
Go there.
Oh. It's audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow. And I invite you to go there and download a free audiobook. They've got nearly, well, I think it's more than 80,000 titles on the store
right now.
They're
growing. I mean, that's the thing. They're growing every day.
Mm-hmm. So,
how much has it grown since the last time we talked about them?
There is something for just about anyone on there.
Probably more than Netflix online streaming ability.
They have, if you like history, like I do, they've got you covered. If you want romance novels,
like
fiction, nonfiction, science fiction, you said it, not me. They've got you covered. More than 80,000 titles to choose from. And you can get just about anything on there for free. Just sign up for their trial period. It's yours to keep. You can cancel it anytime. And you keep the book. It's great. I'll tell you what, I wasn't a believer in audiobooks at first, but after trying them, I am hooked. And one of them I downloaded. I just finished it. It was a doozy. It was The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich, if you're into history. It's a great, very in-depth, very thorough.
Is it about 300 hours?
53 hours, actually. So that took me several months.
So not quite as long as, say, Atlas Shrugged.
They're comparable.
Yeah,
this
I
might be
comparable.
Just a little longer. But anyway, I digress. That one, that is a doozy. If you wanted to stick it to the man, as it were, get your free book and, you know, maximize your free book. That's a good one.
That's
to get.
The thing. You got to keep that in mind when you're picking your free Audible book from audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow. Sure, you can get one that's only an hour. I think they even have ones that are like 30 minutes. But why would you do that when you can get 53 hours of goodness?
I know, I know.
Now, some of us aren't quite that extreme, mm-hmm. so we might want to get something
a
little more
something
reasonable.
Something a little softer, a little easier fare to get you started.
Do you have a suggestion?
I do. And actually, this was recommended to me by our very own fan, Jonathan Brown. He sent me a message on Facebook recommending this book, and I downloaded it and listened to it. And it is called The Automatic Millionaire by a gentleman named David Bach, and it is narrated by David Bach.
Whoa! Oh.
Now, the book covers...
Wow, an author actually did his own work?
Hard to believe, I know.
In this day and age?
I know. So basically, this guy is an investment banker, and he's telling a story of how anyone, even people of modest means, can invest their money and become a millionaire by the time they're ready to retire. Very informative, very interesting.
You were telling me about this. Mm-hmm. It sounded pretty cool. I mean, it sounded like... You know, very logical, you know, it's simple things you can do.
Exactly. And what he boiled it down to, basically, was something he called the latte factor. The guy's a financial advisor, and he's given many, seminars, as it were, to people that want investing advice. And
is
one of
the guy that wears that suit with all the dollar signs on it that sparkles?
That is actually going to be my Halloween costume. But
awesome.
One of the women that was in one of the seminars he was giving complained that she couldn't save any money, and he coined this thing called the latte factor. And he
I can't save anything. I don't make enough.
Sure you do. Just stop going to the bar all the time.
All right, guys.
Perhaps if you got your priorities straight, stop drinking with all your friends, came home for dinner, this wouldn't be such an issue now, would it?
You know I don't go there. My bursitis acts up. Don't even know what that is.
He has high
podcasts.
He has high uric acid and gout. Anyway, so this woman comes complaining she couldn't save any money. So the guy had her analyze her day, and he found out that she was spending like a lot of money every day buying coffee and a bagel and all this stuff that she didn't necessarily
need to. I have to have my daily bagel.
Well, perhaps if
with
you just
schmear.
Got... Perhaps you should just go get some Folgers at the grocery store like I asked you to. Instead of going and wasting all your money at the Starbucks.
It's not
on
as
that
good.
Coffee.
It's not as good. How
it
many times?
As...
1,000 times I tell you it's not as good.
So the moral of the story is find
I
a
love
little...
burnt liquid in the morning. Yum, yum.
The Sorry. Moral of the story, if you can find $5 a day, you can retire a millionaire.
You can find $5 if you quit that smoking habit.
Craig, you can actually become a millionaire in much shorter of a time with even less money.
By start living in your parents' basement, I know.
No. You take a penny, and you save a penny the first day. And the second day, you save 2 pennies. And the third day, you save 4 pennies. And then you save 8. And you know that you will be a millionaire by the 21st day?
Well, that implies you have a lot of income, Michelle. Perhaps more than...
Well, no, but here's the thing. Then you just have to start asking people for pennies.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people.
It's a pyramid scheme.
So anyway, Ben, this book is only... It's a measly 4 hours and 59 minutes if you wanted to get a free trial that was pretty easy.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you give us a little sample? Because Audible does provide... free samples of its books, so if you can listen to them in advance, and if you don't like the narrator for whatever reason, you can skip it.
When I'm speaking about a specific automatic millionaire visual, I'll refer to it by page number for your easy reference.
Riveting.
Yes.
At the end of each chapter, starting with chapter 2, I will review the material we've just covered.
Mm-hmm.
I recommend that you follow along on the action steps page for that chapter and use the app.
Sounds very educational, Craig.
It is very educational. So again, I recommend that you download The Automatic Millionaire, a powerful one-step plan to live and finish rich by David Bach. And you can get that from
or
Audible.
Or one of
80,000 other titles.
Right.
For free. Did I mention it was free? F-R-E-E, free.
That spells
free trial.
Free.
Huh. audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow. Go there today. Help us out. We do really appreciate it. So, coming out of the commercial, we can take a peek in the garage.
We can?
That
I thought we
would
were
be
going
the
next blind spot.
Oh, yes. I lied. Just make sure you're on your toes, Ben. Blind spot story of the week. when news topics go unnoticed, are underreported, or otherwise fall off the radar, they land in our blind spot. And this week, we've got a story about microbeads, and they are not in your shampoo.
Microbrews?
No. Microbeads and a potential alternative fuel. Now, Ben, I think you found this one.
I think I did.
How did you come across it? Are you a regular visitor of gizmag.com?
Boy, you read that the wrong way and never mind.
Reminds us of how Michelle offended
our previous guest. I honestly don't remember how I found it, but I did find it, so there you go.
Well,
I was searching for something else. No.
Are these like the microbeads that are in my facial cleanser?
They actually are, right?
That's what inspired Ben, the cleanser you left behind. That is a problem.
Oh, you finally ran out.
Yes.
So a UK-based company, that is the United Kingdom, our allies over in Europe, right, Eric?
Theoretically.
A company called Sella Energy has developed a synthetic fuel that could lead to $1.50 per gallon gasoline.
Whoa.
Let me repeat
cheap.
That, $1.50 per gallon gasoline.
Whoa.
I remember when it was half that.
I know. Who would have been going, $1.50.
Whoa.
I'm going to the Citgo. Even though it's owned
Isn't
by
where
a
the
communist.
Pets go? No. So anyway, evidently they've come up with a way of doing some sort of microbead technology, that some sort of hydrogen, and you can put it in your gas tank, and it works in a standard internal combustion engine, and it could cost $1.50 a gallon. Sounds pretty revolutionary. And an alternative fuel, so it fits our theme. No?
Indeed.
Yes.
Joel, are you suspicious of this technology, or what? Because it sounds pretty pie in the sky.
It does seem pretty hot pie in the sky. And I'm not so convinced it's going to happen, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm.
Understandable. Why are you skeptical, though?
Well, there's been a lot of talk about whether hydrogen will or will not take off. And if you read most of the stuff, most people think hydrogen will not end up being one of our main fuel sources. And, you know, there's that and...
But
research.
It's an infrastructure problem, right?
Tell that
this,
to the BMW
supposedly,
Hydrogen 7.
Yeah.
Yeah, which that's
clarity.
Never gone anywhere.
Hydrogenated 7.
The problem is for the moment is that it takes more energy to create hydrogen than it actually...
Mm. Unless you could pipe
Beads
it from
not,
the sun.
Huh?
Well, and then we also have to factor in cost of development of this, and then vehicles need to run this, and it just seems not... I mean, electricity and hybrids and all of that seem much more logical at the moment.
Now, give us a more southernly perspective, Jeff. What do you think of this?
We like our fuel fully leaded down here.
Mm. Okay.
Sitting in the Cracker Barrel.
On the rocking chair.
Florida will be the last to adapt any new technologies when it comes to fuel. I mean... I think they try – there's like maybe two E85 gas stations in the state, a handful of car chargers for public use, and maybe one hydrogen station. Mm-hmm. So this is – we're going to get it last, if anything.
That's the optimism we've come to expect from you, Jeff. So.
But another thing this thing has going for it is it supposedly can be run in a traditional gasoline or petrol vehicle. So, I mean, that's good. I mean, you don't have to have an expensive fuel cell.
The article doesn't really go into much detail about what it even is. I guess there are beads. That's what they bought Long Island or Manhattan Island with. It was like $24 in beads, right?
Thought it was blankets.
I don't know. Was
blankets
it blankets?
And beads.
Smallpox, whatever.
Beads. And, no, it's Jag and the Beans.
Trail of
stuff.
Fun.
Got the beans.
Revisionist
beads,
history.
Beads stock. For the cows.
Ah.
Anyway, you put them in your tank and it's supposed to be $1.50 or something, right?
Just ride the cows to work.
According to Stephen Voller, CEO at Sella Energy, the technology was developed using advanced materials science, taking high-energy materials and encapsulating them using a nanostructuring technique called coaxial electrospraying.
I understand how that works.
Yeah, clearly.
It's simple.
They really know how to spell it out.
that works brilliantly. Yeah, there you go. Nobody's saying anything, so I think we're done here. And you know what that sound means? It's transition, isn't it?
I don't know. Is that what it means?
I guess. Hey, let's take a peek in the garage. And this week we have quite a lineup of vehicles to discuss.
Packed garage, if you will.
Go!
Whoa. Whoa. All right. What did we do?
Hmm?
I said go.
Oh. Right,
well. I didn't drive.
It's not a race, thing. Steven.
All right. So the headline vehicle here is the 2012 Ford Focus, of which Eric, Michelle, and myself have all had a chance to drive. Right, Shelley?
I hear very nice things on this, I got to tell you.
Well.
I did drive it.
What did you like? What didn't you like?
I liked the dual clutch. I really wasn't a fan of the manual, and I already told you this before, but I just felt like it took – I had to keep it in like – I mean, at one point, I think, Eric, right, I had to put it in first just to get enough torque to go up a hill in Malibu.
Yep.
And I was going a pretty fast pace.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But I know you enjoyed it, so maybe Eric and I had a bum manual.
Maybe. Eric, what is your
– Maybe.
The SE model, which was the first one we drove, was good. The cloth interior, the cloth for the seats was pretty good. It has the same audio interface as the Fiesta, which is not my favorite, the Nokia keyboard thingy.
Oh, yeah.
The what?
Nokia.
Looks like a cell Nokia? Phone, right?
Nokia.
That little circular dial thing, yeah.
It's over. I mean, even at a lower spec level, it was pretty good. And then when we got in the titanium after the kind of the mid cycle break there, or whatever they called it, for the ice cream and the tacos.
Well, there were two cheese?
No. A taco?
No.
Do you have mirrored
There was a taco truck and there was an ice cream truck, so. But anyways.
Jeff has a question for you, Eric.
Sorry. Yes, Jeff.
Go, Jeff.
Do you really own mirrored aviators?
No. They're Oakleys.
They're right here in my hand or something. I don't know what they are, but.
They look like they're mirrored aviators.
No, they're not mirrored at all.
Anyway.
There we go.
I really like the Focus, 2012 Focus.
Up contented titanium was actually very, very nice.
I would say best in class C segment car.
I thought it was awesome. The titanium. I just didn't think for the base SE. I'd rather have a tricked out Fiesta.
Possibly, yeah.
The back seat doesn't bother me. Mm-hmm. You know, and the cargo space is.
Would
the
you
same.
Rather have a base Fiesta, or I'm sorry, a base Focus, or a base Cruise, or a base Elantra?
Elantra.
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 So now if you drop the Elantra out, base Cruise or base Focus?
Focus.
Focus. I don't want the Cruise ever.
Why is the Elantra really? That good?
What's the problem with the Cruise?
It's not that good.
Really?
It's a Scientologist.
I was reading an article on, I don't know, the site called Autoblog.
Yeah.
And the reviewer there seemed to think it was pretty good.
Was the reviewer me?
No.
Then we can trust him.
But
or
I consider
her.
Since you're like the
Eric just got
since you
there.
Oversee a lot of
I will
a lot
say,
of the auto blogs.
I would like more time in a cruise before I make a final judgment. But
why did you
time,
like the Elantra better? That's what I want to know.
The Elantra just I like the way it looks a lot more than anything else. Even with the base model, the GLS,
so superficial. It's
just, yeah,
and it's made in America.
And it's made in America.
America.
So is the Focus made in Michigan?
Hyundai's just done a really good job of making great base models lately. Where you don't feel like you've really skimped out or given up content. Mm. Like you still feel like you get a nicely equipped car, unlike with some other base cars where you get in and go, okay, there's stuff that isn't here. That's what I like the most about it.
I was waiting for you to use the phrase penalty box. Good on you for not.
I would not use penalty box.
Craig, does that go on your list of most hated journalism?
It's not mill. Somebody, you didn't call the engine a mill.
No, it's a four-pot.
How's the mill in the cruise?
The cruise is the four-pot mill.
No. Mills make steel. They grind wheat into flour. They do not power
not,
cars, okay?
It's good
not
hustle,
so much
everyone.
The
is it a good, is it a good power plant?
And
yes. It's not so much the engine in the cruise that I don't like. It's the transmission.
It doesn't have enough steam in the power plant? Is that what you're saying?
Basically.
Yeah, okay. Well, got to light some more coals for it.
See, I liked the SE Focus. I thought it was nice. for what it was, starting at, what, $16,995?
I have not driven the Focus yet. I should probably make that clear. Based on everything I've heard, everything I know about it, I've sat in plenty of Focus.
Of all the vehicles I haven't driven, I would have to say my favorite favorite one is
you are a blogger. It's official.
Ethics.
No, I'm just saying that I don't see how I could possibly like the Cruise more than the Focus. Based on what I know about the Focus, I don't think it could be worse than the Cruise. That's not to say the Cruise is a bad car. Just saying that pretty sure the Focus is better.
I can say that having driven the Focus for, you know, 4 hours last week or 3 hours, whatever, I got to drive it last week, and having had an Elantra and driven that for about 2 hours, which I just got dropped off yesterday.
Just got it.
The Focus, I like the Focus better than the Elantra so far.
In what way?
Every way.
Okay.
So far, though.
So far.
He only likes it a lot more, but
now,
so
Craig,
far.
Craig, your comment
well, it's like
about...
certain cars take a while for them to get a
bloom. Yes.
Right. And it's not like I get to drive on the curves of Malibu and Topanga and all these other things. And, you know, it's sunshine. It's freaking single-degree weather, and I'm driving through slush bombs to, you know, it's a whole different driving experience.
True. Now, Craig, your comment about Hyundais is always you think it's like a thin veneer...
Yeah, they're very nice cars, but I just get the feeling – now, I could be completely wrong here, but I get the feeling that they are – there's like the thin veneer of luxury and nicety on top of like very cheaped-out mechanicals. I don't know. I get
Welcome
that
to the
feel.
C-segment.
C-section, what?
Have you driven anything else in that class?
Well,
oh.
Who'd we lose?
Joel, come back.
I'm here.
Oh. Okay.
Michelle!
Hopes and wishes will not come true.
I didn't say that. When I drove the Focus, I thought the whole structure was like super, super solid. You know, I don't know if you felt that, Eric.
No, I agree.
Like tank-like solid.
Like it could handle another 200 horsepower solid.
Like it could, like it would weigh 3,000 pounds solid.
It's boron.
Yes. Boron, 55% high-strength steel.
Hmm.
Hmm. So... Hmm. It's a lot of percents.
That's a lot of percents, Craig.
I know. So, yeah, I like the Focus a lot. You be the jury. Test drive it. Steven doesn't like it, even though he hasn't. So
I didn't say I didn't like the Focus.
You just like the Hyundai.
That's what it sounded like.
I said I need to drive. I don't doubt that I will not enjoy the Focus. Wait, hold on. Let me say that again. I don't doubt that I'll really like the Focus. I know I'm going to like it more than the Cruise. But I think at the end of the day, I'd probably still rather have an Elantra.
Okay.
But I have to drive the Focus
better
first.
Than their old versions.
Amen, Jefferson. Amen. So, Eric, you were also in a vehicle. You've got one, or had it, I'm sorry, the Scion TC.
Yeah, that went back yesterday. Love that car.
Really?
Yes, I was shocked. I was shocked,
really?
Too.
You're lying.
No?
Did you have a manual or auto?
I had a manual.
Where's that owl picture, I did, too. Ben? I really like that car.
It has... So much torque for a four-cylinder, I was surprised. It handles well. I like the steering has nice heft. Even the steering wheel itself is really nice. It's zippy. It just did everything really, really well. And I had, and the one that I had no options. It was literally the base model. And for $19,000, it was really good. Now, the gas mileage, 23, 24 isn't anything spectacular, but...
I still can't help but feel like I would still rather have a Mazda 3.
Or half the other cars that are on the market.
Like the Chevy Cruze.
Or the Ford Focus. Or the Elantra.
I hate the Ford Focus.
Ouch.
Well, actually, you know, having driven... Like when the day that I came back from driving the Focus is when I got the TC. So that...
Downgrade...
No, not really. It's a different car to me. They're two different cars.
Yeah, I don't think the Focus and the TC are competitors necessarily.
Who said Dodge Caliber?
What?
You're the Mopar fan. You probably said it.
No, someone said
Dodge Caliber. I heard it.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly said downgrade. I sort of like the idea of the like the sub $20,000 coupe. Because not a lot of, I mean, think about it. There's the,
like, what was the last one? The Honda Prelude?
There's the TC. There's the Forte Coupe. You could. There's a
Civic.
Hey,
there's a CRX. Or, I mean, I'm sorry, the CRZ.
CRZ isn't a real coupe.
And that's a $23,000 car.
What about the Hyundai Accent?
That's not a real coupe.
That's not a coupe.
No.
Yes, it is. It's $9,000, too.
It's not a coupe.
Oh. It's got two doors.
That is a coupe.
What? Can we get this back on the right track?
But it was the first Toyota product I've driven in a long time that actually was enjoyable to drive. Like, you actually looked forward to it, and it was fun to drive.
I like it because it looks like a baby Lexus.
And you like that? did you feel like a poser driving it, though?
No.
But you looked like one, so.
No.
And you are one, so. Oh.
Get the shoe fits.
Whoa.
Yikes.
How are you a poser driving a TC?
Because it looks like a badass, but it doesn't go like a badass.
And the old people that drive them want to be young.
That would be an XB, though. Or X.
No, all Scions are for
any,
old people.
Yeah, any Scion that is geared
that's
towards.
That's why you're
not
going
to find a young person in Scion.
I thought it was Scion.
Scion.
So.
Anyways. Way to kill the moon.
I liked it.
Okay. Well, did it have a six-speed manual?
Six-speed manual.
Okay. And 2.4-liter?
2.5 liter, I believe. No, it's a 2.5 liter
inline
five.
It's a base four cylinder from the Camry, I believe.
It's an inline 16.
It's a V8.
No, it's not.
Supercharged.
With a turbo.
With a twin turbo.
Yeah, it's a V4.
It's an inline V4. It's a rotary V4.
Oh, yeah.
With direct diesel injection.
The screen? What is that image?
So, all right. Joel, you are also in something a little bit bigger now.
A
little bit more geriatric, too.
I have a Buick Regal. It's sport-injected from Germany, and it has a weak-ass engine.
You got the 2.4 liter, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think that engine, it's sort of weak, you're right, but what else would go in there? They have the turbo, but you need a better base engine, and that one's fine.
The cruise
engine.
No, the
base engine should be the turbo, because the turbo in a Kia Optima turbo is 270 horsepower and gets 34 miles per gallon on the highway at $30,000. And now we have a 2.4 in a car that competes with a 4 that has 174 horsepower and the chassis is willing. The dynamics and the driving and everything are willing. It's a great car. It's solid. But the power sucks and it's not that refined. Like, the powertrain is gritty.
Not. The 2 liter is gritty too.
Yeah, it is.
It's like a coffee
grinder.
Well,
then it needs the topped up 2 liter from the old SS Cobalt.
No, yes, it needs to be hopped up a little bit to at least come close to the Optima and the Hyundai, which should be the base engine, because if Hyundai Kia can get, 30 miles per gallon or better out of 34.
$30,000
but you have to keep in mind they've still got another version of the turbo come out.
The Turbo 6, I was going to say.
No.
They should have a Turbo 6 as the top-level engine.
I don't think
with
so.
With all-wheel drive.
I think,
they will not.
Well, yeah, they should in the GS. That's what that should be.
Exactly.
But
that's what I'm saying.
I think what we need to realize is that, in the way of the Buick world, the Regal GS is going to be more of an Optima turbo competitor. Than
but it's
the Regal
got
turbo.
Less horsepower. It's going to have less horsepower and get worse gas mileage and cost more.
Sounds like a win. Wait. No.
This car, okay, here's the deal. The original Regal, not the original. The Regal when I was a kid was the sport injected Regal, right? Yeah, it wasn't sport injected.
It was called a Grand National.
No.
Terrible
Regal, the front wheel drive Regal, like the W body Regal.
There you go.
When Eric was in his late 30s, that was when the Grand National. Oh, yeah.
Jeff, you're vicious today. That's my job to be a dick.
This Regal, it's totally got a willing chassis, and the driving dynamics and everything are great. But the engine is gritty, and it's not as competitive to an A4 or 3 Series at all. Not even close. It's just powered.
Does the engine kill it then?
I would not tell someone to buy the base Regal. I'd tell them you need to drive a 2.0, and I haven't even driven a 2.0, and I already know you need that at least.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I do know that I also think the cluster, the HMI, is a complete cluster. I mean, what the hell? You need to do, different things on different parts of the system.
Yes.
And that's stupid.
Hmm.
And it should automatically always have projector headlights. If a Verano can always have them, that's going to be $23,000. Then a $27,000 Buick Regal should have one. It just looks like crap without them.
So quite a long list of beefs, and you're a vegetarian.
but I do like – I mean, overall, the overall package, I like it. It just needs some help.
Okay.
Oh.
What is going on?
I'm not sure either. So thumbs up or thumbs down.
Duke isn't helping itself in even more with the Verano coming out. That's even worse for the Regal.
Yeah.
But that's a different story.
So it sounds like a thumbs down on that, Joel.
It's a sideways thumb wavering down.
Okay. Fair enough. Now, Stephen, you were in something
dangling.
It's not Florida.
In the dangle state?
Yeah. Stephen, you were in something that you absolutely adored.
I did.
Tell us about it.
It was in the Mitsubishi Lancer Evo, the SE, which is pretty much the one, in my eyes, to have because it's got the same suspension geometry as the MR, the top level one.
The Mister.
It's got the same – the Mister. It's got the same the SST twin clutch gearbox, everything – that's great about that because the manual, the 5-speed manual GSR, isn't really wonderful. You don't get leather, you don't get a sunroof, and you don't get the wing out back. So it's a little more stealth on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's awesome.
Now, when you say dual clutch, you're saying it has two clutches.
It has two clutches.
Does it mean it has two clutch pedals?
It does not have two clutch pedals. It has two paddles that are column shifted. Not steering, or column mounted rather, not steering wheel mounted, which is the better setup to have.
Mm-hmm. It has paddles, not pedals.
Paddles, not pedals. Mm. I don't know, the Evo is always a great car. There's not much really new about this one. There's nothing to really say about it.
But you loved it, right up your alley.
I loved it only because the weather we had this past week was complete crap. We got about 7 inches of snow.
Which was a lot less than snowpocalypse.
Because I had one recently. I'd like to hear what you got.
I don't remember, honestly.
Because I got 14 miles a gallon.
I don't remember what I got. I wrote it down, but I don't remember off the top of my head.
I think I'd rather a Mustang 5.0 and get 14 miles per gallon.
I don't know. The Evo. I like the Evo just because I took it out, you know, in a snowstorm, all-wheel drive, snow tires. It's a great combination, and it's just proof that you can have great, you know, all-weather sports cars.
Oh, it's totally a snowmobile for the – it's a snowmobile for the road. It's got a 14.5-gallon tank, 6.9 cubic feet trunk. Mine had a $40,000 price tag. So it got 14 miles a gallon.
Perhaps that's why Mitsubishi's in trouble.
Yeah, but keep in mind, most people – okay, when I say most, I mean everyone who's buying an Evo isn't buying it for its fuel economy or trunk capacity.
Okay, let me put it a different way. My cabin is 250 miles north of here, and with that fuel economy and that gas tank, I wouldn't make it there.
That's range anxiety.
Performance anxiety.
Evo. Well, it's not an EV, so –
it's an Evo.
Mm-hmm.
Ish.
Well, how do you like me now? So you enjoyed it. You'd definitely give it a thumbs up.
Yeah, it's just – it's one of those generally fun, great cars. I would buy one as a second car if I had
– like a Yukon as your daily driver.
I would have something more economical, more, you know, here and there.
Yeah.
Like a Tahoe?
Not like a Tahoe.
Excursion.
But like something else for a daily driver, but the Evo as a sports car that I can use all year round is brilliant.
Okay. Well, that is tremendous news, Stephen. I'm glad you got the car that you enjoyed driving. So, Jeff, you had something considerably less enjoyable to drive, but it's a 2012 model, so it is the newest one.
And it was much larger than anything else on this list put together.
All right. Do tell, do tell.
It was the Nissan NV van. The Mammoth van.
The Mammoth van.
It was – I've never really driven anything that needs like a delivery van or anything, so I really can't compare it. But it was a fun trip. We got to load up each truck with pallets and take them – take
pallets
the supply.
What? What?
I was going to describe. We got stuff from Lowe's, like supplies and whatnot, and then we took it to a
Habitat.
You
had to work on this drive?
Holy shit, she's back. Listen. Where does she come from?
Who's that?
I never left.
Are there ghosts in here?
You've been on here the whole time.
I made it through the tunnel. Yeah.
You're lurking?
She hasn't said a word.
Did you hold your breath through it, Michelle?
No.
It's not a cemetery.
Then you'll die early.
Well, thanks for that mood kill, Ben. That's usually
my
job.
I don't make the rules, Craig.
It's usually my job.
No, anyway, the advantage of the NV over a conventional van like a Express or a Sprinter or the Econoline is that it has a truck front end, so the engine is all under the hood as opposed to being half inside the vehicle.
That's always struck me as so odd about full-size vans, is the way the you sit on top of the engine.
Well, have you ever looked at, like, the old Econolines from the 70s?
Yeah.
There was no hood. All engine was inside the car.
Bad idea.
When where I grew up in South Bend, there was this speed shop, or they did all the engine building for all the race cars in the area, whether it was drag race or circle track. And they had, like, a late 60s, early 70s Econoline van that had, like, a tunnel ram with dual quads on it. And so it didn't have the engine cover, was obviously missing from in between the seats. And if you were sitting in the van, the top of the carburetors was at about ear level.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. It was a very famous one where we grew up, just because everyone knew it. So it was kind of cute.
In the South Bend.
In the South Bend.
Which is ironically in the northernmost corner of Indiana.
No, not really.
No.
It's a northern.
It's the South Bend of Lake Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
It's the South Bend of the St. Joe River. That's why it's at the southmost bend of the St. Joe River.
Clever.
Yes.
You corn huskers or whatever that. Who's yours? So, did you like the driving experience of the Nissan NV?
If I were working all the time, maybe. But this is. It was just Nissan's way of entering a new segment and answering. What?
I was going to say, I'm sure they're hardworking vans, but nothing to get passionate about.
Oh, yeah. I did have one guy, because in Miami, everyone's homeless, I think. I had this guy walk out in front of me. I was at a red light, and he, like, pointed at me like he wanted me to talk to him. And I'm like, no, thank you. I didn't want to give him money or listen to what he had to say. But finally, he persisted, so I rolled down the window. He's like, is this a custom van? I said, no, it's a Nissan. He's like, oh, this thing is awesome. Well, turns out the guy was, like, a construction worker around there, and he really liked it.
Ah.
So I mistook him for a homeless.
I thought he was going to the local schoolyard.
Yeah.
It needs a nautical steering wheel, though. That's what it needs.
Yeah. My funny story about NV.
All right, let's hear it.
When I was booking my airfare to get down there, I was talking to the lady at the airfare booking agency that I will not mention. She said, what are you going to drive? And I said, a big, you know, commercial van. She's like, oh, a kidnapper van. I said,
funny. Yes.
Exactly.
I've got to get practice.
So do you think that that the fact that there's no diesel option is a big deal, or is that a no deal?
I don't know. Like, they said that the people looking at that truck weren't wanting a diesel anyway, but I'm sure you could kind of make up your own market data. I think it'll take away some of the business from GM and Ford, mm-hmm. and easily outsell the Sprinter, which costs almost double it some prices. So
well, there you go. Sounds like a solid offering for those people that actually work for a living. And
it's a shame it's just so ugly.
Yeah, that's true. And now it is time for the moment you have all been waiting for. That doesn't make sense. Highway Hearsay.
We've been waiting for that?
Yes.
Highway Hearsay. Tales from the open road.
Strung at my washboard, gonna resort to cutting. Highway Hearsay is all about what we've seen out on the road, from weird sightings to the stupid things people do. And I have a very brief Highway Hearsay.
SOS?
I guess.
Are we getting a wire?
No, I didn't hear it well. It's too quiet. Again.
Someone? It's not me. I didn't play it.
Oh, I thought you did.
No.
So you're like, did we get an SOS? Hint, hint.
No. Oh, there we went.
Dun, dun, dun. All right. So, Highway Hearsay, I was driving home 3-4 weeks ago from work, heading eastbound on one of our main thoroughfares, 696.
Down.
Yep. Driving along, and I see this black first-generation Ford Expedition kind of abruptly pull off to the shoulder of the road, and it stops really fast. I'm like, oh, that was kind of odd. I wonder what happened. So as I pull up next to him, I look. The driver's side front tire wheel fell off and was rolling down the freeway, this 8-lane superhighway. 6:96.
Yeah, that's a problem.
A little bit at the start of rush hour, too. And I'm like, oh, my God, somebody's going to hit that or it's going to hit somebody. But it kind of like bounced between cars, went to the center section, the median where there's a concrete barrier, and just kind of chilled there. And I drove past it. I was like, whoa, that's kind of odd. Have any of you guys seen stuff like this?
Yes. Not live, but on tape.
Okay. So I guess this person needs to learn that it's lefty-tighty, righty-loosey, right? Keep those nuts in place.
Unless it's a Mopar, in which case they have reverse threads on the right side of the car.
Do they?
What?
The old Mopars from the 60s had reverse threads on one side of the car, and I think it was the right side of the car.
So it's always
whatever
forward or something?
Yeah, so it would never go right. So, yeah, it would be on the left side of the – yeah, on the right side of the car, they were reversed so that it would – anti-rotational issues.
I was told there'd be no geometry.
I didn't study. Well, very interesting fact, though. I've never heard
of that. Isn't it interesting that the Mopar fan in the audience or in the on the staff didn't know that?
For shame. So whoever was driving this expedition should learn if they're getting a loud, violent clunking and the steering wheel is shaking in their hands. They might want to check the lug nuts. And a couple nights ago, I saw another dark-colored SUV missing its driver's side front tire parked on the side of 696.
What?
Yeah,
what?
I couldn't make out if it was an expedition, but it was. It may very well have been one with the same problem. So they've got issues there.
So that's your tip of the week,
that's
right?
You tighten your lug nuts. Yep. Tip of the week, highway hearsay. Highway hearsay of the week.
That's a bonus is what that is.
That's good.
We're not going to charge you for that one, folks.
Ding. Ding.
And with that, I think we can wrap this baby up. In swaddling clothes.
I hate it when this happens.
Steven, warning.
Yeah, Steven.
Incoming message.
Just play this. Incoming apparently message. We got a call. Was unaware.
This is why I didn't want to get a wireless. But you can never find it. This is like another remote.
I think someone's sitting on it.
Well, perhaps if you put it
here
back
it
on the dock where it goes.
Here it is.
All right, what we got? Heaping humiliation.
Listen. I asked you to call me. Now the four fans that you had are walking out the door to get some frickin' grinders. I hope you're happy. Hope you're real happy. Bye.
Well, our surly new fan.
Hoagies and grinders. Navy beans, meatloaf sandwich.
What?
Sloppy Joe, Sloppy Joe. Yeah.
Sounds like some sort of Adam Sandler idiocy.
Sloppy Joe's.
You like them extra sloppy.
What? I said ding, 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 Craig. Oh. You got a pop culture reference.
I actually didn't. I guessed. It just sounded something
you still
ridiculous.
Got it right by accident.
Yeah, so that counts, right?
Even a broken clock is wrong right twice a day.
Thanks.
That's wrong
Thank
the rest.
Thank you very much, Jeff.
So I'm not real clear on what that message was about. Apparently we were supposed to call someone.
I'm not sure how.
Hoagies and grinders.
No.
Okay.
Not at all. So I guess if we did something wrong, Janice, we apologize in advance, but I'm unclear as to what it was. But that if you want to get in touch with us and leave us a message on our Google Voice account,
how would one do that?
Stephen, do you care to explain?
To do the what's?
Leave us a message on our Google Voice.
Oh, well, I use the Googles. It's my homepage.
You have to have the internets, first of all. Do you have the internets? Did you pay the bill?
I have AOL. We have AOL. How many times do I tell you we have AOL?
Stephen lost.
I don't know.
I'm done.
This is is like a face-off where whoever gets the other one to laugh first wins. So round one goes to the Sanders. Round two.
Steve, I thought we still had the people PC.
Steven, round two goes to Ben 2.
What happened to CompuServe?
It was the net zero. Steven. They sent me a coupon in the mail for $9.95. A month for unlimited access.
Do you know what that's worth?
Probably $10.
It'd be the same as doing your coffees every morning.
Exactly.
So instead of doing your damn coffees, we could have better internet access.
What, you want I should be asleep till noon? I need my coffee. I'm sorry.
Three for three is Mr. Santa. So Google Voice, Stephen, how does somebody leave us a message?
You can give us a call at 1-559-ROAB-411. Or if you're not good with those letter things, that's area code 559-762-2411.
559-762-2411?
559-762-2411.
That reminds me of a song. No.
7-6-2-2-4-1-1.
So that'll just about do it for tonight's show, guys. Great hustle, as always. Jefferson Ross, Autotropolis, what's going on in your world? Plug your shit and let's go.
Ouch. Mark that. I'm just working on the NV and Hyundai Elantra reviews. And I think that's about it for planned stuff.
And where can people find those?
On autotropolis.com.
And
Autotropolisaurus.
We need to mention that Autotropolis has a fan page on Facebook. Yeah, it's a very good way to find a lot of the content from Autotropolis. What is that address? Do you know, Jeff?
You just go on Facebook, and it's Autotropolis.
So facebook.com/Autotropolis.
Yep.
Very nice. And also another Autotropolisaurus, as you coined, Jeff, a couple weeks ago. Michelle Naranjo, who we unfortunately lost along the way. Well, lost
in
cell phone
travels.
Service. Yes. She's very itinerant. But she is with MissMotormouth.com is her website. She's also Miss Motormouth on Twitter. You can find her there. And she also does stuff for Autotropolis. So
open line on Mondays. She's a busy girl.
I guess so. Eric Tritko, RumbleStrip.net, RumbleStrip on Twitter.
Yes.
And lots of other places.
And there's a review of the Ford Focus on RoundaboutShow.com.
What is this website?
First drive, in fact.
Yeah, first drive of the Ford Focus.
You didn't break any embargoes, did you?
No, it went up right at when it was supposed to.
I see, 12:01 a.m.
Yes, sir.
How do you like that?
Boy, howdy.
Ow, ow.
Yep.
So, RumbleStrip.net, getting back on its feet, busy working with...
feet again.
Busy working with IMAX Web, the consulting company I work with, so...
Well, great news, everyone.
Yes.
Good news!
Stephen Ewing of the one, the only, Internet's finest source of automotive web blogging, Autoblog.
There can only be one.
Mm-hmm.
Where we hate cars we've never driven.
We are the Autoblogs. No, we're critique cars we've never driven. Nope, we're doing the Chicago Auto Show thing next week. We'll all be there in full force.
Sounds very gangsta.
It is.
Very nice.
You should dress up like Al Capone.
I probably will.
Okay. Well, we look forward to pictures on the Facebook. Ben Sanders, Autoline. Of Autoline fame. Glad
and roundaboutshow.com fame.
Thank you much for your participation. Tripping over myself.
Yeah, that thing.
Yeah, that's it. Mm-hmm. Great. Good luck editing this one. Joel Fetter.
I'm here.
You're still here? You've been off. You've been awfully quiet.
I'm here.
You've been awfully quiet, though. I was concerned.
Well, I just kind of let you guys take it away here for a second. The end here.
By which you mean you were buried in IM, right?
No, my IM is not open.
Not anymore. Click, click, click. No. Accelerate Minneapolis is your website.
Mipples.
Yes. I wasn't going to say it, but...
It's okay. I've come to terms.
So what's the URL for that?
The public wants, Craig.
You give them what they want and more of it.
I do give them what they want.
30% more of it than expected.
In fact, I have a video with jiggling boobs on there right now, I think.
Oh, is that a reason to go there?
I think your traffic just increased by 10%.
So I have two more people. Sweet. No, actually, this week I posted a video on how to zombie-proof your car and the best independent front suspension explanation ever featuring boobs.
So your website is Accelerate Minneapolis. However, it's joelfetter.com. That's
actually
a little misleading.
It's Accelerate MPLS, Accelerate Minneapolis, and joelfetter.com. It's all three.
Whoa.
Wow.
Yeah.
You broke my mind.
I spent $30 a year to own all three. It's crazy.
And you do some podcasts as well.
I do the Birdcast. Auto, you know, Colin Bird, caw, caw. Yeah, him.
Who?
He's not on anymore, though, because his job says he can't be.
Okay.
Damn the man.
Can't be. He's like Steve Jobs. He got kicked out of his own business.
Exactly.
You're having cancer. Well, no, sort of like that. Sort
not
of like
at
that.
All, actually, Ben.
No, I do my blog and I do reviews and I don't do news as much anymore just because now.
It's boring.
I write more news on Higher Media. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, we're glad you could make it, Joel. Thanks for coming on the show.
Invite.
Yeah, no problem.
Maybe in the next 12 months I'll come back.
Who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows? We can arrange something.
Who knows?
Ben is quietly smacking me in the arm to make me stop talking. So, watch us live every Friday evening at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time. That is 3:30 Pacific. You can watch this live if you didn't know that. And will somebody please leave us a message on our Google Voice number?
You sure about that?
It's 1-559-ROAB-411 in numbers. That is 1-559-762-2411. Give us a call, Joel. Feel free. Don't be timorous.
I will. You know what? I might just call.
We would love to hear from you, Gorski C. Well, we're also on Twitter, twitter.com/roundaboutshow. On the Facebook
as
well.
What is this tweeter you talk about?
Twitter? I don't know. It's a rookery.
Is it like the internet?
Rockery.
Oh,
we have tweets, twitter.com/roundaboutshow. We're also on Facebook, Facebook. Whoa.
Oh, who's eating their mic?
Sounds like Jeff.
Jeff.
I didn't even do anything.
Uh-huh.
Facebook.com/roundaboutshow. If you never want to miss an action-packed episode, and frankly, who doesn't? iTunes, you can subscribe, or on the Zune Marketplace. And with that, I think we can sign off for this week. Thanks to all of you out there listening. Please join us again next week. We will circle the roundabout. That is a promise. And we'll talk to you then.
Happy trails to you.
7 seconds.
Until.
He has Apple products. Of course he has earbuds, Ben.
Better now?
Yep.
No, we can still hear you.
Mark that one, Ben. That is.
We'll correct
Hello?
That.
Hello.
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 That game's old already.
Water propelled.
Welcome to Roundabout.
Speaking of old, Michelle. I can't work under these conditions.
Recording.
On your laptop as well.
Yep.
Oh. Jeff, are you at the park again?
He's trying to get kids in the NV. That's his story.
Exactly.
Where's the sound effects? Hey, girl, how you doing?
How you feeling, girl?
How you feeling, girl?
Where's Chris Hansen, too?
I was just here to tell this girl not to
talk to strangers or get in their van when they're offered free candy. Yeah.
From Jacksonville, Florida, I'm Jeffrey Ross.
From the city by the bay, I'm Michelle Naranjo.
Oh, shit. That's me.
Yep. There we go.
There it is.
Well, let's start again.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, you just came on my screen.
What?
Oh.
Oh, no.
Mark it, Ben.
Oh, so marked.
So,
I don't even know what to bleep there. Just start over. Anyway.
Oregon Trail fail.
Yeah.
Record your message after the tone.
Michelle, stop. It's your podcast. I'm calling because I'm concerned. I don't know where you've gone. I have been trying to call you for minutes, and I just can't seem to find you anymore.
Your father
and I'm
just
worried.
Loves you.
I'm just so worried.
He's concerned.
I wish I knew where you were. Do you have my car? I can't find the car either. Did you take it to that boy's house? I told you not to go over there. He's bad news. He's just going to try to take your flower.
God. And scene.
17.
Hi, that's the worst party ever.
Call me back.
And I will get back to you.
Michelle, it's me again. Still haven't heard back from you.
Why don't you have a call?
We're just wondering what happened, honey. We can't find you anywheres. We found this weird box under your bed, though, because we went looking for you. I need you to come home and explain some things to me.
It's not good. It's not good.
Is she bulimic?
No, she's not bulimic.
Well,
you know, I miss you.
Anyway.
Well, let me try one more time.
No.
One more. She said she wanted to, apparently. Oh,
that's right. I'm sorry, Michelle. No, she's gone. No. Just forget it.
She's dead to us. And I am producer Ben Sanders. Yep. Q. Line? I want to hear Fetter say, line? You reading along, Joel?
Meow.
Joel. Oh. Hello.
I am in with people again.
No, I was finishing.
She can
my
tell.
All right, I'm
she knows
attention.
Another.
Full yeah. attention.
Mavens.
All right. And everyone quiet. Everyone quiet. Joel, go when you're ready.
Oh, yeah. This is Roundabout.
I'm not buying that, Joel.
That was pretty
Let's
weak.
Do it
that
once more.
Weak. I can do that better. All right, ready?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. This is Roundabout.
Still flaccid, but we'll take it.
That was totally on. I can. You want one more?
That was good. That All was right. good. Can't expect better.
All right, Eric.